Today's episode of Watch What Crappens was brought to you by premium subscribers Claudia Catalina and Christy Doherty. We love you, girls. Now on to the show.
That's what Shaw's Vanderpump Rules. Come gather round and make fun of his fools.
A podcast about Bravo. Nothing runs with Bravo.
When there's so much that crappens.
Crappens. Crappens.
Crappens. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV, and as usual, I'm here with the gorgeous, cold-brewed Ben Mandelka of the B-Side Blog and the Banter Blender podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Ronnie. I am cold-brewed. I've drunken about an inch of my Starbucks cold brew. So, you know, in about 20 minutes, things are going to get real exciting over here.
You know that
Ben Mandelker land.
You know that Peter from Atlanta is so excited there's a cold brew, so he has to make even less effort. He's like, it's all cold brew. 70 cents more. It's just like Sanka stirred around in a ice water. So, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Today we're talking Real Housewives of New York, Flipping Out, which is a new one for us. And we're going to go over some Ladies of London preview action. But first, let's plug stuff. Come to our patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens page if you'd like to support this podcast and be a premium subscriber. You'll get bonus stuff like bonus episodes that are every week. You'll get a party where we just hang out on video chat, and that's happening next week, so that'll be fun. Yeah. And there's ringers. The July and August ringers both posted today, so those are all up. And we're going to start only putting up ringers for 3 months at a time, so this week, we're going to leave them all up. So if you want all of the ringers since last October, which is crazy that we've been doing it on Patreon for this long. We've been together so long, Patreon. But if you want all those ringers, go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens and get them now. Because starting next week, there will only be a backlog of 3 months available at a time. All right, then. You can find us on facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens if you want to talk shit with us and other listeners. There are really good threads there, so please go and post there if you'd like. Post us articles you may want us to talk about, etc., etc.
Don't be a moron.
And what else, Ben? I think that's it, right? Oh, come to watchwhatcrappens.com if you want to follow our personal links.
Yeah. There are great personal links. And by the way, thanks to everyone who has been trying to help the Shannon Bedore song on iTunes hit number one. Unfortunately, things went in the wrong direction, and it's at 82 at the moment. But but Ronnie's is at 50, so that's on the climb. But we will we'll make these songs available.
No, it was it was 19 yesterday, so mine fell too, Bean. There's only so many times you can download a song called Girl Code without just wanting to kill yourself.
This is kind of true. But if it's any consolation, we're not the only ones who deal with these like rapid up and downs. We talked about the Big Brother. Was it Big Brother Gossip Show? I'll get the right name of it. He wrote
it's
wall.
The Big Brother Gossip Show.
Big Brother Gossip Show. He wrote on our wall. He's like, hey, thanks for like the mention on the other day. Like, you know, he also has the same theory that like basically us, the indie podcast bust into the top 10 and then iTunes just shoves us down again. So,
well, I don't think we're considered indie because we have a network. I mean, we may not hear from them much, but we're not indie, man.
How about this? The unprofessional ones. Although I don't want to speak about Big Brother gossip's professionalism.
Yeah,
but I think when it comes to professionalism, this podcast may not be at the top of the rankings, somewhere between our homemade garage band songs and our C-word jokes.
It's okay. That. I'll take it. It's a life. It's a life ironic. Worth it's living, Ben.
That's right. I would say that. I would say that for sure.
Now, I have no idea why I need to talk in a Real Housewives of Melbourne accent every time we do the show, but God, I miss that show. And yeah. I was reading an article about Gamble. And I love the Daily Mail. I talk about it all the time because they post Housewives links that show up on Twitter. And that's the only reason I ever really read it. And then, of course, it goes into, like, war articles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I just love that New York or that Real Housewives articles are basically like, we have a huge article. And then you get there and they're like, look at what people said on Twitter. I'm like, that is not an article, especially for you, Daily Mail.
Yeah.
But anyway, they were like, huge fight with Gamble and Pettiflor. And so I was like, oh my God, gotta read it, gotta read it. Mm-hmm. So I went and they're just being rude to each other in interviews. Like, thanks.
Were you freaking out?
I was flipping out, bitch nozzles. Yeah. it was like, well, Pettiflor is mean. And she's like, that girl is stupid. And I was like, that's great. Thanks. Glad I clicked this.
Well, if it's any consolation, I believe that the podcast that was number one when we were trying to push for Shannon Bedore, the number one, the artist behind the number one TV and film podcast was Wolf Pop.
The real one?
Wolf Pop. Wolf Pop. Not
oh,
Wolf
what's
Pop.
That? What's Wolf Pop?
I don't know, but Wolf Pop has a podcast called I Was There Too.
Oh, and, my God. I want a podcast with Wolf Pop. Be like,
oh, Wolfie.
This is me, Wolf Pop. I'm here to talk about what happened today. Today, Gamble ate a fingernail, and then when she tried to make a poo-poo, she cut her butt. And that's it for the Wolf Pop podcast. Thanks for listening. I love you. I love you, darling. And thank you for accepting me and my son. That's all.
And the reason why the podcast is called I Was There Too is because then inevitably in the middle of the podcast, Gamble goes, I was there too.
I was there too. And we were just swimming. I didn't have sex with everybody.
Oh, Wolf, it was a very successful podcast. And I was there too for the podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Wolf Pup podcast. I'd just like you to know that my wife, Gamble, has not had sex with the entire neighborhood. And right now she's putting mustard on a fingernail. Thank you for listening to the Wolf Pup podcast.
I'm going to sue you for libel.
This has been Wolf Pup.
I was there too, Wolfie.
It's telling me now. Finish lunch.
I was there, Wolfie. I was there. Oh, Wolfie, remember when I was there? Because I was there, Wolfie.
So let's open the show today by talking about Gamble some more. Just kidding. We're just going to talk about nothing that's really happening in the world. Okay?
I know. By the way, Wolf Pop podcast, or I Was There Too, this has nothing to do with the content of your podcast. These are just inside jokes about the Real Housewives of Melbourne. So don't be mad.
They're not listening, Ben, all right?
Oh, so they're not. Well, they've already dropped to number 12. See, that's the thing. They go from number 1 to number 12. We go from number 5 to number 82. Something's up. Something is up.
It's a conspiracy. Let us. Oh, wait. What else happened with Kim Richards this week? I feel like something went down. Hold on. She shoplifted. She
Angie,
went to prison.
We didn't talk about this, but Angie, Angie Thomas, we love Angie. When are we going to have her back on? I was just on Angie's podcast, Deep Thoughts, and I had a really fun time. So people listen to that if you want to. What I was going to say was that Angie sent us a link from a few days ago about the Kim Richards' landlord. I think he's suing her. She apparently, when she left her $4,000 a month rental in Van Nuys, it was a total disaster. It was completely trash. There were cockroaches. It was like, you know, like a crack den.
The cockroaches were all fucked up. They're like, not only did you leave us cockroaches, but they are still partying and looking for meth on the floor of the bathroom.
She's like, oh, like mother like daughter, right, guys?
The cockroaches are probably doing like a conga line. They're so happy that she's gone.
The roaches are probably, like, so mortified after being yelled at their wedding. They're probably... Yeah. Kim was like, all right, listen up, everybody, at this cockroach wedding. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you and your mom, too, all right?
Cockroaches are like, well, you know what they say about Kim Richards. When you see one like her, there's like a thousand. There's a thousand you don't see.
You know. Well, hey, look, it's a diet plan. You go, Kim.
I love the idea of Kim Richards at a cockroach wedding.
Hey. Hey, cockroach. I just want to say thank you. It's a beautiful wedding. And the past hors d'oeuvres are wonderful. But why is everything so small? I can't fit on this pew.
How are you calling me drunk? Why don't we talk about your husband, that guy whose antennas are always wobbling around and going every which way? You want to talk about that? Let's talk about your gay cockroach husband.
Hey, cockroaches, when are we doing the electric slide? That's the best part. Mm.
The wedding.
You know what? You know what no one knows about cockroaches? They don't work together. They're not like ants. I mean, ants will carry stuff. Cockroaches don't do anything. You're lazy, cockroaches.
Hey, when's everyone going to stop and pay attention to the video montage I made for the cockroach buddy? I've been videoing it. I made a cockroach on iMovie montage.
Listen, it's getting loud in here. I don't want to call a raid, all right? That's the last thing I need over here. So just quiet down, cockroaches.
Listen, I have a bone to pick, okay? I know that there are a lot of people that came in from out of town for this cockroach wedding, and they're all staying at the Roach Motel, and I want to know, why was I not offered a room there, all right?
I'll stay on the couch in Emilio's room. All right, cockroaches, carry that message back to your queen. Oh, I forgot you don't carry things. Jesus, kinky good help around here.
Yeah, there's no cockroach. This is a terrible cockroach wedding. No one's even made a toast yet.
I want to make a toast. Fuck you. You don't even serve any drink. You know, I found a little tiny cup of a roach margarita on the ground. So maybe I drank. I don't remember.
This is a terrible wedding. You know what? You know who had a good wedding? Robert Sean Leonard, that was a wedding. You cockroaches could have learned from him. He was big.
The only reason I went to this stupid poor person wedding is because roaches have such good brand recognition. I can't believe you guys are poor. What the heck's the point? Get out of my house.
She's going to blame the rent. She's going to blame the rent not being paid on the cockroaches being too lazy to pay it.
She's gonna be like, I told them they had to pay rent. Oh, you can't put me in jail. Landlord rights.
Listen, I called Crispin Glover. He's gonna send me a check. It's
Crispin.
Hey, Crispy. That's what I call him. You know when they came out with pop chips, I thought, God, he sure missed the train. Poor Crispin.
All right, let's move on. God bless her heart, little thing stealing in a Target. Bye, Kim. Yeah. Love ya. Yeah. We'll see you soon on E, Dunning. All right. Let's check out this Ladies of London. This sounds nothing like Melbourne, so we can't impersonate anybody for at least
my British accents are fucked now. I can't do British accents anymore because I've been doing Melbourne accents for so long. I used to never be able to do Australian ones because they'd always end up British. But now I've so committed to learning the Melbourne accents, a.k.a. in quotes, because I definitely have not, that now I can't do a British accent. Everything's just a mess. I just have to go, Scott.
That was
like my favorite joke, and then he goes and commits suicide, and now it's like tasteless to make that joke.
No, it's not. I still joke about skin chandeliers, and I started doing it the day after Russell hung himself. So,
hang stunning. Yeah. All right, ready? I'm going to press play.
Okay, let's count to three. One, two, three.
Oh, wait. Do it again.
Oh, damn it. Hold on. Let me rewind it.
The play button disappeared. You know how it does that? You know how the controls? You know, of course, like the moment, like whenever you want to watch the video, the controls stay up there for like 20 seconds. But the moment you want to press play, they disappear. One second. Okay, ready? Right.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
On this season of Ladies of London.
Oh, we're actually in sync. This is so different in London.
Oh, Alexander!
Alexander, I'm walking again! With a gun!
The only way you're getting into British society is to be born into it.
I'm surprised that pissy lady is there.
From the 1800s.
Oh no, the American's back.
Your place on the guest list.
In the 1900s.
Is that a new American?
It's a new, like...
I feel like there's a lot more of...
Oh my God, is that Reese Witherspoon?
London can smell a social climate a mile away.
Bummer, exactly.
We can smell a social climate. They smell like inexpensive crackers.
Oh, they made the... I think the friend of the ladies looks like she's a cast member now.
They're like, hey, that girl gives a lot of jazz hands and she has a castle. Hire her.
Where's Noelle? I guess she's not on it anymore.
Welcome home.
Well, Noelle, don't fire Noelle. Lord knows she needs a job, y'all.
S is a friend now.
School.
What?
A lady.
Oh, is this, did she say she was Swedish?
Caroline just took a massive dig at me.
What did you say? I just took a
ugly
massive dump.
Straddle my husband.
Good luxury spelling.
Caroline's dressed as a brony. My bitch,
but that was not to my face.
Annabelle's like, yes. Slanted bangs, just like Alexander would have wanted.
I am working my ass off.
Oh, no. Tori's spelling on a hibachi grill.
I would love to go into business together.
To liquidate everything. British society is cutthroat. Once you're at the top, there's nowhere else to go but down.
Too bad you're not at the top, darling.
You've still got some climbing to do, darling.
This isn't gonna end. That's, well, you know, this.
You're getting good at this.
Oh, you were so awesome tonight.
It's just like a lot. Oh, there's Naomi Campbell. It's like a lot of just like kissing and frolicking. Well, it's like a thoroughly, thoroughly polite show.
Right. I don't know what even happened to that, but now I'm watching a Tide Pod commercial. Are people really too fucking lazy to pour some detergent into the washing machine? You got to have it in a pod now. Get out of here, lazies.
So, you know what I just realized with that trailer? There were no Caprice.
Which one was Caprice?
Caprice was the American who would sometimes speak a little British. She was the one who was like, I'm having a baby. And, oh my God, I had more press than Kate Middleton.
The girl from VH1, she's like,
yeah,
I'm too famous for this show, and the ladies are jealous because I've been on the one. And they're just jealous of me because I'm famous. Oh my God, I beat Kate Middleton. Shocker. Send a sorry card to Kate because we're in Britain, and I need to be polite.
So Caprice is gone, and so is Noelle.
Those babies probably came out and immediately strangled her hag ass. They were like, we will not be raised by you.
Yeah. And like, go back to Yerba Linda, Caprice, or wherever she's from.
Yerba Linda.
I think she was. I think she's from like Yerba Linda or like some random Tustin or Rancho Santa Fe.
So basically, this season of Ladies of London, nothing happens like the last season. Can't wait.
Yeah, they had like, I think there was, I don't know if people could hear it, but there was one thing that looked kind of like a fight when the really prissy one was like, if you're going to call me a bitch, call it to my face or something like that. And that looked like it was the most intense thing that happened.
No, and also Annabelle was eating dinner or something with curve bangs. I don't understand. Okay, like, you know how when curtains, it looked like how when you put up a curtain, like you tie back a curtain, and they're kind of like draped. I don't know. They weren't easy. They weren't easy to look at. But yeah. Maybe Alexandra just taught her how to cut her own bangs or something, so she's refusing to go to supercuts these days.
It's her way of honoring Alexandra.
But she was modeling in a tunnel that wasn't leaky, and she also was shooting a gun. So, you know, back on the horse, as they say, darling.
Well, you know, she's just very rock and roll, like Alexander. That's why she has all her furniture is granny furniture. Very rock and roll, darling.
We see her wearing a horse coat later in the season. She's like, I killed that horse. It's what Alexander would have done. Nobody bucks off Alexander's muse.
Oh, my God, I'm going to drink this tea like a rock star. I'm such a rock star with this old lady tea right now. Alexander would love it.
I can't even read it. Gallup poll anymore, darling. I have no idea who's winning anything anymore. It's what Alexander would have wanted.
I forgot she got thrown off that horse.
That was so... That shit was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, it was. Especially because all season long, she's like, I can't wait to get back on the horse. You know, I love horses. They're so majestic. Oh, my God, I can't wait to do this. And she gets on it. She's like, oh, no.
So I'm training so hard. It's difficult not riding a horse for years and then suddenly riding a horse. Oh, damn it. People only care if it's Superman, I suppose. You have to be a hot American for anybody to give a crap. Poor thing. Yeah, so that looks fun. They made the friend of the housewife who owns the castle,
yeah,
as we screamed
back
about over the thing. It looks like she's back, and it looks like she's crazy. And I don't know how they figured that out, because she was so not crazy last year. She's like, hello, everybody. Here's the living room. All right.
Now let's go to the drawing room. Oh, look, it's Granny. Hello, Granny. She's like, hello. Oh, it was wonderful. I just wanted to kill myself. And then Juliet's like, do you guys got any bacon?
And this year, that friend of, she now has like manic panic in her hair. And she's crying. And she's like, I work so hard. I'm like, no, you don't.
Yeah,
you don't.
No, you don't.
You do not work so hard. No one on the show works hard at all. Maybe Caroline a little bit. But no one works hard at all.
Trying to get your gay husband hard isn't a job. All right, Juliet. They showed gay husband. He's like, girl. I was like, whoa, he's come even further. Now that gay marriage is legal in America, I guess they just figure they can get away with it everywhere, darling.
Well, I'm looking forward to it coming back. I'm excited for some British accents. And in the meantime, we have the royalty of New York City that we can talk about.
In America, society is cutthroat. I mean,
by the way, that was pretty. That was, I think, that was a little. It was a little too soon for Caroline to say that. You know, like it's so easy to fall. You know, from high society.
Yeah.
I mean, Scott.
She's like, I have been buying gifts for rich people for years, and let me tell you what it's like being at the top. Darling, you're a personal shopper, okay? You're not at the top. The people you're shopping for aren't even at the top because they wouldn't need a personal shopper. They get shit just brought to them from places, all right? They don't have to have people buy them things, all right? That's what I think being rich is like. You just sit there and people bring you stuff and, like, hand you babies if you want a baby. Like, here's my baby if you want a baby.
Yeah, that's how you know Caprice wasn't rich, because she had to have her own babies.
Oh, God, that was, talk about a geriatric pregnancy. My God, I'm surprised Hume Cronin and Jessica Tandy didn't pop out of there.
She had that weird thing where she had the surrogate had the baby, but then she was having a baby, too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she had, like, She had a rental oven and then, like, a reg, like the home oven.
Yeah, so she had to go out to, like, fly back home to Rancho Cucamonga, and they both had their babies.
It's so hard being back where everybody knows me. Oh, God.
Everyone in Placentia knows me. It's so hard.
Whenever people ask me if I'm going to eat my placenta, I say, no, I have no desire to eat my hometown. Those people love me. Lord.
Listen, I am just very big in La Cañada Flint Ridge, okay?
I will be at the Indian Casino on the 101 and the 99 all week. Bring your buckets of nickels, girls. I'll sign any nickel you put in front of me.
I just am so excited to go home, have my babies, and walk through the halls of Morongo Casino with everyone wanting to touch me again.
I can't wait until my babies are old enough to ask me for my autograph.
It's so hard going to Subway in Downey. Everyone just wants a piece of me.
That Jared picture won't stop staring at me.
Which makes me feel really young, so it's kind of cool. That's the part about going to the Subway of Garden Grove.
I love that you have, like, a list of every L.A. suburb.
I'm, like, mentally going through all... Well, because the thing is all the suburbs in L.A. are hilarious sounding.
Really are, because they're all named after, like, Spanish things, but nobody will pronounce them that way. Even the Mexicans are like... Well, you got to take La Cienega to the... It's like, no, stop. That's not how you pronounce it. Or what's the worst one that people say? Santa Monica, they say, right?
Los Feliz.
Oh, that makes me crazy. Los Feliz. And they're like, ugh, this is not how you say it, stupid. I'm like, oh, God, I know. Jesus. Damn white people taking over the Mexican culture. I will not stand for this.
No.
I will sit quietly.
No.
Yeah. All right, let's talk, Ben. You've got to keep me on track today. I'm out of it.
All right.
I'm like staring. No,
okay. I'm out of it, too. We're just
cleaning
be...
my nails right now with nose hair clippers, so if that explains anything.
I'm feeling a little kooky right now. So New York City, Real Housewives of New York City. The episode begins with Heather and Carol having drinks. They're talking about Carol's trip. I have to say, this is a positive comment. I thought Heather looked fantastic in this scene. Did you notice that? I was like, wow, she looks great.
She would have been great, like, in the time where there was only, like, candlelight, like, before electricity.
Yeah, I was about to say, It may have helped that the lighting was basically like red and black and very dim, but she looked great.
She's like, hi, so good to see you, mamas. And Carol's like, yeah, I'm wearing plaid to a fancy place because that's what the kids are doing these days. Don't question me, mother. Heather's like, tell me about picking up your dead husband. Oh, by the way, I have to say an apology, a public apology. Because last week, I read that tweet from Carol's book, the tweet of a picture from Carol's book. I'm making no sense, I know. But anyway, I was talking about how Carol talked about in her book already scattering the ashes. And then it was explained very politely to us this week that normally when people die and they're cremated, you scatter some of the ashes and then you keep some of the ashes.
Right.
I didn't know. Who knew?
I didn't know that either, because I base all my knowledge of ashes being poured somewhere on, of course, Milu's ash ceremony. That's remember when Sonia poured, scattered Milu's ashes?
Yeah, they were everywhere. River. Why didn't Carol
tell
her?
It was just like a cloud.
Wasn't
it was
Carol
like the
there?
Second coming of 9/11. It was just like...
Yeah, remember? And they walked away and they all started like peeing on trees. They're like, Milu's inside of us.
Very proud ashes. Very proud ashes.
But I wonder why when she dumped Milu, Carol wasn't saying, you need to put half of that in a Ziploc bag or you're not going to have an excuse to take a trip in a few years. Can you imagine Sonia's like, all right, who wants to come with me to the Staten Island ferry stop? I'm picking up the rest of Milu.
You know, Milu's a very popular dog. You know, I have to scatter his ashes all over the place. You know, they've been asking for his ashes in Saint-Tropez. They love his ashes in Saint-Tropez.
Milu saw me suck my first dick in Saudi Arabia, and you know that hotel room will not let me into the Shaw suite. Really upsetting.
Milu used to party with Madonna and John John all the time, and both of them have requested that his ashes, you know, be scattered in their presence.
Madonna. She'd be like, do not scatter those in front of me. They're fattening. I will not breathe your fat dog, Sonia. She'd be like, oh, come on, lighten up. No one gives me any respect. God, like Madonna has a job. She just puts on parachute pants and dances around. I invented parachute pants, all right?
No.
So I started speaking... parachute pants, David.
I start parachute pants. Megan.
All right. Megan. Previously.
So then, speaking. Oh, previously. Oh,
oh no, no, I don't. I don't have anything. I was.
Oh no.
Just,
so so then
flambling.
We moved. Speaking of fashion, we moved to this meeting where Sonia has called Bethany and Heather to this conference room to help with like a model casting for the for her line. So, of course, Bethany gets there first, and she is back to her crazy ways. You know, again, she walks into the room. She doesn't even say hi first. She goes, I got a mouthful of food. Where's Sonia? Where's the clothes? What's going on? Who's this? Hi. Sorry, no. I got food in my mouth. Sorry, stressed. Sorry. I'm the first one here? Okay. Well, that's weird. Okay. Perfect. That's strange.
Okay. Well, I mean, look, I guess I'm the first one here, so whatever. I don't know you. I don't know you. Don't talk to me. I don't know you guys. I don't know you guys. Who are you? Can we get some hello, my name is? I still won't know you, but at least I'll know who to ignore.
And she's like, well, this is awkward. This is awkward. I'm like, yeah, well, you're making it awkward. How about be like a normal human being? And you walk into a room and the person that you're supposed to meet isn't there yet, but there are two other people. So you make polite conversation like a normal person. It's
no
not
kidding.
Awkward.
Check
you
your
say,
Facebook
hey,
like anybody else. Have you no manners?
Yeah. Go on Tinder.
Yeah,
all right.
Totally.
Go see what your latest homeless benefits are, okay? Okay.
She's like, I got to get out of here. I got to be on the cheese line in like 5 minutes or I'm not getting cheese. And do you know what my daughter's going to do if she doesn't have cheese? She's going to swing from that expensive chandelier in her room, and I'm not going to be able to sell it on Craigslist later. So just move it along. I wanted to say something about this conversation with Carol and Heather, though, because, of course, it's taken me 20 minutes to look at notes. But Heather was talking about how she put the urn in Dorinda's bag, and she's like, of course, it had to go in her 1980s hooker fur coat or whatever. But she puts it in to get it through security and thinks it looks like a bomb. And then she's freaking out and saying she's sweating, which I don't believe because Botox – I mean, maybe she was sweating in her ass cheeks because – Botox, like, stops your sweat glands from working. Like, you start sweating in other places. So, anyway, she had a sweaty butt. And then she got nervous, so they opened her bag and they pulled out lotion and they took her face cream. You know what? Fuck off, people. Box cutters were legal when 9/11 happened, okay? Those terrorists didn't pull off anything tricky. Stop taking expensive shit from our bags, okay? That toothpaste is $8 now. Thanks a lot. And now you're going to blame the terrorists? I blame the government, damn it.
Yeah.
Fucking take my toothpaste with bleach. It was $8. Okay, that's all I had to say. Now we can move on. Right, okay, yeah, so Bethany walks into this meeting, and the guys, I think this is why you can't talk to these people like normal people, because there are people that Sonia brought in, and they're awful. One of them, you walk into this. Oh, my God, look at this model's energy. It's amazing. Her energy is crazy. And then the other girl's like, yeah, model's energy. It's like, oh, my God, I want to kill these people. That girl who's wearing, like, I don't know, like a vest from the thrift store that she glued skunk fur onto or some shit from Michael's, and she wears it every scene that she's in. It's like, girl, is that the only wig and fake fur vest that you have? Come on, make an effort. Bethany's here.
Yeah, I know, exactly. I liked also, I did like when Heather and Bethany were trying to get to the bottom of what the hell was going on, and Heather's like, so what sort of brand is it? And Sonia's like, well, you know, it's a heritage brand. And then someone else goes, yeah, it's not what's on trend right now. I'm like, oh, okay. But then they keep on saying everything. They're like, but it's always sexy.
Yeah.
Like, so what is this? Well, it's sort of like a nun's habit, but it's always sexy. It's like convent chic. Always sexy.
There's,
you know,
always...
like, you ever see those guys that are in those suits, or they walk around in the bottom of the ocean, and they've got one of those tubes that goes up to the surface, that way they can breathe. It's like that, but, you know, sexy.
No matter what it is, this is what I always say. If you want heritage, you need to make sure there's easy access to the vagina and something right under the collar that you can lift up and wipe your mouth off when you need to. And that's it. Yeah. You can use these things at any job if you're working your way up.
When we say heritage, we mean it's a burlap sack. Like, literally, it's the heritage of, like, a street urchin. But sexy. Sexy.
And the Indian guy's hilarious. Because Heather's like, no, like, who do you see these clothes hanging out with? If you're in a store, mamas, and you're saying, holla, holla, your dressers are saying, holla, who are they hollaing to? Exactly. Because they have to be between things. And he's like, no, we don't do this in this store. This brand is not about other things, okay? It is only these things. So our store would be only our things. And she's like, no, but, like, you know, let's say you're in Macy's, okay? Are you going to be next to Polo? I mean, where are you going to be? He's like, nowhere. We will be next to nobody.
You cannot compete with us. That's what we kept on saying over and over again.
There is nothing like our clothes. They are sexy but feminine and chic. I'm like, oh, yeah, those are crazy, crazy buzzwords I've never heard. Well done, India.
Yeah. I got a feeling like Sonia's line is going to be hanging next to the pots and pans on the third floor.
She's like, my clothes will be hanging in whatever is alphabetically next to them in the podcast directory. Okay, that's it.
So then the models start coming in, and Sonia's like, no, well, you know, I don't know if I like this girl. You know, she has more of like a Versace cut, and I want more of a polo cut. Like,
not
a,
my
more
cut. That is body. Not my cut. That is for the masses, not the classes. Okay.
And so then Bethany starts to get mad at her. Bethany's like, you don't say these things in front of the models. You don't say these in front of the models. Da, da, da. And Sonia's like, no, of course you say these things. Da, 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 da. So then Bethany has the nerve to tell us in the interview. She goes, listen, I don't need these girls getting an eating disorder on my watch, says Bethany Frankel, CEO of Skinny Girl.
I'm not going to let Sonia give these people an eating disorder. Look, when I give people an eating disorder, it's because they've earned it. It means I care about you enough to tell you that you're fat. Okay? Sonia's just like handing them out like candy. I will not have her diluting my brand.
Yeah, I mean, Bethany, I mean, when you're sitting there and you're looking at her with her like sinewy arms and like -5% body fat, like, I don't think she gets to talk about eating disorder concerns.
Also, we're talking about women who are basically basing their entire life on what they look like and selling that for money, okay?
Yeah.
Those girls are non-eating whores. Like, I don't care. You are a lot, and no offense, models, if you're out there. But, I mean, come on. You're a non-eating whore. Admit it to yourself. The first thing, the first step in acceptance is admitting that you're a non-eating whore. But they're like horses. I mean, you don't, they are. It's like going to a cattle show and deciding what horse you're going to, or what cow you're going to buy or whatever. Like, you look the cows up and down, you check their teeth. That's where the saying, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth, because it's rude to check over the horse when it's given to you as a gift. But when you're buying that horse, look at its teeth, y'all.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, it's funny also. I mean, Heather is sitting down the table. She's trying to sell her yummy fashion, which is just shaped like it's Spanx, basically.
Yeah.
So all these women, all they care about is trying to look as skinny as possible. So don't get mad at Sonia.
Yeah.
Get mad at her for other things, but not for that.
Yeah. But Sonia was being funny, because then she started getting more and more snotty about it.
Yeah. Like,
someone on our Facebook made a funny comment going off about Sonia and what a bitch she is, and they're like, I cannot believe it. I mean, when did this woman cross so far up her own ass? She's always been up her own ass. She's just got a good sense of humor otherwise.
Yeah. You know? Remember in season 2 when she called herself a gay icon and she was mad when Alex McCord was going to get to speak at like a gay rights thing or whatever, and Sonia wanted to be the one, like, didn't want her to speak because she's like, but I'm the grand chairman or whatever, whatever you call that term, you know, grand marshal.
Yeah,
I'm the grand marshal of this event, and I'm a gay icon, Alex McCord. So Alex McCord can't speak, so she's always, you know, been a disaster.
Listen, Alex McCord has done more for the gay community than you can dream of. She married Simon. Okay.
Yes.
She took Simon off the gay market. So I think that she should be the marshal of every gay pride parade.
Yeah,
it's like, thank you for taking that one out of the gene pool, darling.
But my favorite part is that after all this, like, you know, hemming and hawing over the models, Sonia's favorite model was the one who was the most average looking, who looked just sort of like a normal person who walked in to like deliver like a message from reception, you know?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, here she is. Here she is. This is my look right here. Oh, found her. Found her. I'm like, her?
That's my brand. Look at the heritage. Look at the heritage in that brand. I don't think Sonia knows what heritage means.
No.
I don't think anyone's explained it to her.
She thinks it has something to do with hair.
Yeah. She's like, that girl has hips and big teeth. I want her. I want her. My line is for people with teeth. Big, big teeth. Like, okay.
Yeah. No, I was like, the first two girls were perfectly pretty and model-esque. And then Sonia's like, oh, this is her. Perfect. Perfect for Saint-Tropez. Perfect. Where's Milou? Oh, no. Forgot. Milou died.
She's like, okay, one who's not as pretty as the other ones. How good at you are carrying boxes upstairs? Okay. Yeah. Do you know how to put pieces from different vacuum cleaners together to make one big vacuum cleaner? Okay. That's heritage. Okay. This girl is heritage. From now on, your name is iPad number 2. Okay. Whenever I need you, I'm just going to swipe you. So please keep your nose clean. Thanks.
Now let's see if we can clone 3 more of her, so that way we can have them for parts. Just the mad scientist.
You never know when her time machine is going to break.
What?
That's the thing you use to back up things on your Mac.
Oh. I thought you meant like she had some weird time.
Girl, if Sonia had a time machine, she'd be back in Saudi Arabia right now blowing shahs.
I think she thinks she has a time machine.
It's the only time she felt productive.
Well, here we are, Bangkok 1982. We've arrived. No, Sonia,
look at this.
You're still in the boardroom.
Look at how I started my career, you know? And now I'm doing clothes, which also involves dealing with little pricks all day long. You know, it's like, I just wish I knew then what I know now. Full circle, and in the middle, heritage.
Heritage brand, but very sexy. Very sexy, with a J.
I wasn't shoplifting. On the front of the store, there's a big zero, and inside of it's another zero, and inside of that's another zero. How are you expecting me to pay for anything where everything I look at, the price tag says zero, Target?
I was hypnotized. I was looking at it, and I fell asleep. Stole stuff by accident.
If I had a time machine. Hey, this robe was just sitting on the floor, so I drank it. I should sue you for almost choking to death, Target.
I don't know why. I can't stop. Yeah. I can't stop. Come back to me, Kim. Yeah, Sonya's time machine, I don't think that that would have been good because I don't think that there's really anything she can change. I mean, she's just doing great as it is.
Yeah, yeah. She, if anything, maybe she needs to go forward in time.
Yeah.
Get through this period of her life to when she's just a fashion mogul in 20 years.
A fashion mogul.
Walking around with giant glasses, black framed, thick frame glasses like the lady from the Old Navy commercials back in the day. That's what Sonya needs to go to. That's
I think Sonya just wants to be a fashion mogul so she can have an official sweatshop. So if people stop making fun of her using child labor.
I think she just wants to be a fashion mogul to further her toaster brand. I think this is all just an elaborate exercise in getting the toaster out there. She's going to do is next is she'll release like the cookbook of like how to eat so that way you can fit into my clothes, and then the toaster oven comes next. I think that's the order.
Carb-free peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Half pickles, pull out a plastic spoon, put some peanut butter on it, and then feed it to you. It's going to sell
everything's
gonna
be like
copies.
Everything's going to be a variation of putting cheese on English muffins. All right. If you want to make – this is what I call a Gouda pizza. You take an English muffin and you put some ketchup on it and then you put some Gouda on it and then you have perfect Gouda pizza.
Oh, Sonjina, the fashion mogul.
Sonya. So anyway, as this caffeine ravages my brain, let's go to I think we move forward to Ramona. She goes to lunch. I forget even with whom she
Ramona
goes.
Ramona went to lunch with Dorinda. This scene
Dorinda,
was
that's right.
So beautiful. It was beautifully executed.
I love the way it started.
On every point. Love
yeah.
it.
First I love the way it
all,
yeah.
Oh, wait. Go what ahead. You love the. I was just going to say, first of all, Dorinda just got back from seeing her dead husband. Okay? I mean, not seeing him, but you know what I mean. I mean, the red balloon people. Come on. Have some sensitivity. So yeah. she's just come back from this like emotional trip. And she was with Carol, so there's some shit to talk about. And what does Ramona do? She's like, oh, hi, I just got my hair done at Oscar's. And then what happened? I had my car there, and then my car wasn't there. Because, you know, I can't take a taxi because you don't know how they smell. It's like, okay, A, shut up for a second. And B, stop talking about smelly things when you're about to talk about dead husbands. And she's also probably going to marry John. That's rude. And see, yeah. Her husband's dead, so maybe, like, hold off on a bit. No one cares about your supercut.
I just love that Ramona got into the wrong black car. She's like, so the craziest thing happened. So I went over to a car, all right, and I looked at the license plate, and my car was supposed to start with a TR, and I saw a TR. So I thought, okay, well, those are not very common letters in the English language, so this must be my car, okay? So I got into the car, and I was like, hey, what's going on? We drove by Saks, okay? We're going to the west side, okay? And then we're going the wrong way, okay? And I thought, I got to get out of this, okay? And it reminded me of one time when I was a kid, okay, my dad was like, hey, we're going to go to Rye Playland in Rye, New York. And I was really excited. I wanted to go on the dragon coaster, okay, because I love dragons. But then we got in the car, and we started driving a different direction. And we went to New Jersey, and we went to the dentist. And I was like, what's going on? And then we picked up Geraldine Parsons Smith, and I realized I was being abducted. And this was a terrible thing for me. And to this day, I can never get in the wrong car ever again, okay? I'm sorry.
I was crying so hard that Geraldine Parsons Smith slapped me on the back when I was cross-eyed, and that's why my eyes look like this. It was traumatic.
Okay, and then afterwards, when the dentist gave me a lolly, Geraldine Parsons Smith took it from me. Okay,
and Dorinda's like, "Don't worry about it, honey. I confuse black things all the time. Was it wearing a waiter shirt?" Watch out, people are gonna call you racist on Twitter.
You better back it up. You better back it up, black car. You better back it up.
Literally,
hot guy, back it up. There's a spot here for you. Back it up.
This hot white guy keeps coming to the table, and Dorinda's like, could you please send the waiter and stop asking me what I need? Go, Dorinda.
She's like, I think it's so wonderful that two waiters made it to be president and first wife of America.
It was so nice being in London where the black people don't wear waiter shirts and confuse me. I didn't ask a black person for anything in London. It was like being home again.
She's like, I was watching BET. They have a whole award show just for waiters. I think it's wonderful. I think it's great.
I'll tell you what, if I was ever served by that girl, that waitress Beyonce, I don't know if I need to see that while I'm eating. It's bad enough sitting across from John. I don't need anybody telling him to shake his jelly. What was Beyonce's, like... Was she the shake your jelly?
Yeah, it was Destiny's Child. Yeah,
nobody needs to shake that.
I don't think John's ready for her jelly, I'll tell you that much. If she brings her jelly over here, she better back it up.
I'm not ready for your jelly. I've got plenty of jelly here, thank you. His name is John, he's got a hairy back, and every morning it's like climbing Mount Vesuvius and flip-flops, all right? Keep your jelly, P.
I don't like waitresses that push jelly on me. I don't like that. If I wanted a jelly, I'd order a jelly.
I'm 40 years old. If I want jelly, I'll get jelly. Jeez.
If I want a jelly, I'll ask for a jelly, okay? But I don't want more jelly than and John doesn't. John better back it up from the jelly buffet, okay? And Beyonce, you and your two other waitress friends, you better leave with that jelly, okay? I don't care if you're survivors. I don't want my waitresses telling me that they're survivors. I don't care. Just bring me my food.
How dare you talk to my daughter like that? You better back up, B. Back up, B.
Yeah. And you know what? You know what I don't appreciate? Every time I ask for the check, they just talk about bills, bills, bills. I don't like that from my waitresses. And I don't like my waitresses calling me a bugaboo either, all right? I don't care if they say that they're independent women, all right? You're my waitress. Just bring me my food and don't bring more jelly, okay?
All this big independent women is overrated. I don't understand. All these women bragging about being independent. Who cares? America's been independent for a long time. What does that mean? Who cares? We're still sad. We're still in debt. And being independent is nothing, all right? Get somebody. Get a dry cleaner, America. This country would be doing much better if we would just elect a dry cleaner.
You know, I'd like to see the manager, please. My waitress is drunk in love, and I need a sober waitress. I can't. This is not right. Back it up. Back it up.
Is the waitress singing a song about sitting on Jay-Z's face while I'm trying to eat my toast with jelly? I told you I didn't want this jelly. You better back it up, sister.
Back it up. What I really didn't appreciate is that when I came into the restaurant, I wanted to sit over by the window, but my waitress, Beyonce, kept on telling me to sit to the left. And I was like, that's not right. I want to sit there to the right. I want to sit to the right.
I'm not ready to put my things in a box yet, B. Stop telling me to put my things in a box. Can I eat my lunch?
I don't want to box up my dinner. I don't want to box up my dinner yet, okay?
Ramona's like, I'll take it just in case. Just in case.
Hey, you know what, Dorinda? I think all your leftovers are in a box to the left. To the left. Oh, yeah. That's what we got. That's it. Again. Thousands of people go to a stadium just to see a waitress. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
So then they start talking about the Carol stuff. And Dorinda's like, you know, I was surprised because she's so nice. And Ramona's like, oh, yeah, she's great one-on-one. One-on-one, she's okay. But, you know, when she gets, like, three-on-one, then it hurts. Then it's horrible. I'm like, who are you? Who are you? I don't like that.
Of course, this was after Ramona told a whole story about, so the other night, I went to Cipriani's, okay, and I was sitting there, and I was having a lovely time, and I ordered this boring chicken dish, and I was like, I don't want to eat this boring chicken dish. You know, sometimes I want a nice chicken dish. And I saw this lovely chicken dish go by and went up to a gentleman, and I just had to get up and walk over to that gentleman and say, excuse me, but what is your chicken dish? And he was like, well, guess what? I'm the owner of Cipriani's, okay? And he bought us all dinner, okay? I'm just like, yeah, I just got back from London saw my old friends, and Carol saw her ashes, but that's great. I love that chicken story.
Yeah. She's like, that's great. I wish I had a chicken salad when I was crying about my dead husband at lunch with Carol. She's like, oh, yeah, that would have been great. You know, but then if you had lunch there, then it would have been Carol and lunch on you. Then it would have been 2-on-1. You wouldn't have liked Carol anymore.
Ramona immediately blames Heather. She's like, well, you know, when she's with Heather, you know, Heather does all the talking. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Heather overshadows her. I'm like, yeah, okay. Tell us about that chicken again.
Okay. Sorry, stay class A.
It was so funny because Dorinda's so positive, well, most of the time when she's not about to cut somebody, but she's so positive and she's like, oh, well, you know, it was really great. It was great seeing everybody. And now it's done. Now I can go to London again. And Ramona's like, that's what I need with Mario. You know, I'm so jealous because Dorinda has closure. And what I need with Mario is closure. I'm like, she has closure because her husband's dead. Okay? Like, it's not really the same thing. You're not going to get the same kind of closure. And then she goes on to explain. She's like, you know, I mean, I got closure. Sometimes I see Mario and, you know, that's fine and whatever. But I'm still moving on. And I'm like 99% moved on. You know, I'm like 1% have a finger up Mario's butthole while I'm giving him a blowjob. I mean, let's just admit it. But, you know, it's like 99% of my fingers not even in there. Like, he can barely feel it. And I'm saying that's what almost closure feels like.
Okay.
Okay. When I'm done, you're going to have to put plastic gloves on some other girl. And then they hit on the waiter, and that's really awkward. And then Dorinda actually really does say something about, like, John called me in the middle of the night and had hotel security wake me up because he thought I died. And Ramona's like, oh, who dies in London? Nobody dies there. She's like, I know, but he thought I was dead. And, you know, it was so sweet, you know, because he's needy and he needs me. You know, all these women who are just so independent, do it alone, do it by yourself. That's boring. You know, nobody calls you. Nobody calls hotel security caring that you might be sleeping with somebody thinner or less hairy, you know, classier job than a dry cleaner. You know, nobody's calling. Nobody cares.
By the way, speaking of John, someone, I forget who, I'm sorry, someone posted on our Facebook page a photo of John with Liza from Secrets and Wives. Okay. And I forget the other ones. Was it maybe Andy who was or Susan? But the three of them were on a step and repeat, and they're like smiling, and John is just fully drenched in sweat, like big old sweat stains.
Uh-huh.
I see myself, A, I already miss Secrets and Wives, and B, this is John. This is John. He wound up on the wrong show. He should have been on Secrets and Wives.
I know, but they already have a pig named Jonathan.
That's
you
true.
You can only Jonathan. Have so many thumbs up a butt in one season of a show.
That's true.
In Long Island, all the men put their thumbs up your butt in bouncy houses. You got loisered.
You got totally loisered by Jonathan. You feel nauseous now. You feel nauseous.
Little does he know I had a suppository up there. Now his thumb has the runs. You just got loisered.
Paralyzed.
Oh, thumbs up the butt. So, Kristen, I'm pretty. Kristen, is it Fashion Week? This episode too, because some designer whose name nobody knows, or maybe you do. I don't have fashion.
Yeah, he's a huge name.
No, Kristen's.
Yeah,
Kristen's. Oh! I wrote it down because at first they were showing that lady, and I was like, "Who are you?" Oh yeah, the Tally Von Malley or whatever. What's his name?
Ellie Tahari.
Listen, when somebody gets to do a runway show for Mr. Old Navy, I'll care. But until then, I have no interest. I don't understand.
I don't even follow fashion. Ellie Tahari is huge. I'm not even sure I'm saying his name right. Is it Eli Tahari? No, it's Ellie. I think it's Ellie Tahari.
You know what? He went to a lot of trouble to get a name that rhymes, all right? Memorize that shit, Ben.
I know. I'm sorry. So Kristen got her pop of color used in his fashion presentation during Fashion Week, which is pretty cool, but it's not like people were going up there and being like, oh, what's this nail polish on this model? Like, that's what I came here to see, the nails. I think it's, like, as much of an afterthought as can be.
And Carol's like,
oh, did you use any of the names I gave you for the nail polish covers? I can't wait to see someone wearing Blowing a Toddler. Ah, oh, it's going to look so pretty.
Slide.
Age is just a number.
Uncollected ping pong balls.
Balls that haven't dropped yet.
So they're talking about her nail colors, blah, blah, blah. Heather and Carol, blah. And then they show one of the models putting on that. And I'm like, wow, this is perfect. It's like for girls who are too stupid to wear gloves with fingers in New York City. It's like some Madonna fingerless gloves. So it's like, this
people
is perfect.
People wear those. That way they can still use their smartphones.
Yeah. You know what? If your feet are cold and your head is cold, your body's cold. Okay, people? If the tips of your fingers are cold, you're going to be cold. Just stop wearing gloves, fuckers.
Yeah.
Or buy the kind of gloves that you can still... Let's stop talking about this. I'm just getting...
No,
I'm getting angry about nothing.
This is one of those days. I've already done it about three times when I've gone on either a rant or I've just gone on a line of thought that goes absolutely nowhere. I'm like, oh, well, I got to wrap up whatever I'm saying. I got to bring it to some sort of reasonable conclusion. But in the meantime, I'm just going to waste everyone's time while they have to sit and listen to me get to this.
And we're almost an hour, and we've talked about nothing.
I know. I feel like the high point was the cockroach wedding in Van Nuys.
It's all downhill from there. Just make sure when you're on your way down the hill, you're not walking with Jonathan. I've never seen somebody sweat backwards, but it actually happens. He was internally sweating. I had to squeeze him for 5 hours afterwards to get it all out.
Oh, man.
So people are such bitches. They show up and they're like, Heather's like, hey, nail polish mama, step off the curb, mamas, farewell Felicia, sincerely Heather. And
well, she was trying to network with Ellie Tahari. She was like, oh my god, this reminds me, you know, when I first started out as a fashion professional, much like you, I was wearing all your suits all the time, you know, because I work in fashion too, and we work together. We should get lunch, you know. But anyway, I wear your suits. I love your suits. Anyway, Mama, so nice meeting you. Bye, Ellie Tahari.
Yeah. When I started
running conglomerates as a fashion exec, I loved your clothes. Now, unfortunately, I'm too wealthy for them, and I don't like looking like other people who just got off the subway. But thanks for the past. Thanks for that. Like, that is so rude. I don't know. Oh, she's like, I loved your clothes so much, I've decided to start a new line called Mari Pahari. It's similar, okay, but not quite the same. And I'm going to spell it wrong, so please don't feel like you're getting stolen from. You know, and can't steal intellectual property, mamas. What?
Well, you know what? By the way, Heather had a major fail in her career as a Real Housewife, which is that she never put on a fashion show. And she was like a working fashion designer. I mean, the fact that Sonia Morgan was able to put together a fashion show, the fact that Sheree Whitfield was even able to put together a fake fashion show, and Heather didn't put on anything? How could you do that, Heather? Like, this is like your opportunity. How could you not put on a fashion show?
Look, no one looks cute in Spanx. Like, yeah, when it's just the Spanx. You got shit spilling over the top. It looks like an overfill. It looks like a hot tub filled with, like, too much cottage cheese. That shit's, like, spilling over. And listen, I've tried on man Spanx, okay? So I'm speaking from personal experience. Nobody needs to see that fashion show. People would just be horrified.
By the way, I just want to let you know how caffeinated I am. The ice in my Starbucks just settled, and it startled me. I just jumped because of the ice. The ice moved and I jumped.
Your stupid ass neighbor probably did too. You're going to be getting a knock at your door. I heard ice settling in a cup. I will not stand for this.
Oh, God. She is the worst.
Okay, so fashion show. So Heather's fashion like, hi, mamas. Wow. I mean, there's like, Sonia can pack a house because, I mean, she's a whore and she's always on Twitter. But where are the buyers? Because I'm used to seeing buyers here, mamas. I was hoping to know people, you know, because people buy my stuff, and they're not here, so have fun with your show, Sonia. It's like, shut
up, Heather. You designed stolen Spanx. Just shut up.
Yeah. And meanwhile, so Sonia's backstage, and she's, like, yelling at her staff because everyone's getting things wrong. I'm like, well, how about this? Why don't you, like, get someone who has a little bit more experience than an intern? How about you have, like, real professionals working your show rather than yelling at, like, Camila from, you know, CUNY, you know, who's just there for, like, one credit so she can finish her, like,
I know. They showed a lineup of, like, children. I mean, they look like children. I mean, I know I'm just getting older, but I was like, how old are these kids? It's like you're telling 12-year-olds to do things for free, and then you're mad that they didn't, like, copy it, right? And she's like, yeah, but where's Calvin Klein going to go? Where's the Shaw going to go? Where's, you know, where are these people going to go? I'm like, hello, delusional. None of those people are coming to your show, all right? Make sure that Ramona has somewhere to sit or you're in real trouble. Otherwise, just who cares? No one cares.
She's like, this is why I have to do everything myself, you know, because, like, I can't rely on other people to do it for me. I'm like, well, maybe you should pay someone, and then you can rely on them.
She's like, I've been trying to fix a leak in my ceiling forever, because you know who can't do it? Interns. They just can't do it. You know, all I've asked is for them to go hunting in the walls for the possums. They cannot do it. So you know what? Fine. I'm sitting there with a tube of caulk, and I'm just going to do it. Every time I see a leak, I'm going to have somebody hold me up to the crack. That's it. Pickles, get in here and hold me up to the crack. How do I open this cock? All right, that's it. I'm gonna start designing cock because apparently I'm the only one who can design cock that's easily opened.
You know, my cock, you know, people love my cock in Saint-Tropez. You know, it's huge. They love it. And it helps so many young girls around the world.
They used to call me the cock queen in Saint-Tropez. I was like, that's right, because I fix roofs. That's what I do. It's just what I do. It's in my nature.
I love roofing, you know, and I don't want to. I'm good at it. It's what it's part of my, it's my international brand, you know, toasters, dresses, roofing. You know, I'm coming out with a designer shingle next year. On all the side of all the houses. It'd be wonderful.
A designer shingle. She's like, I'm going to come off with something like Goof Off, except it hurts. It's going to be huge. It's Sonia Morgan International Lifestyle Target brand. And everyone's going to love it.
You know, I'm very excited. My next product is actually one of those canopies that extends out over your patio, and you can press a button and it goes back in. It's very sexy. It's a heritage canopy.
So looking at my notes. Oh, Sonia boobs out, I guess. I have to do everything. Clothes, the jewels, the alcohol. I was like, you have to do the alcohol, Sonia. She's like, I have to do the clothes. I have to do the jewels. I have to do the chairs. I have to do the alcohol. I'm a problem solver. You're here to learn from me, okay? If something's going bad, I don't need you saying, Miss Morgan, you're gorgeous. You're the queen of the world. I don't need that. I need you to tell me what's wrong because you're here to learn from me. I haven't seen one of you swallow yet. Not one of you. You have not swallowed a thing. How do you expect to have a career? You think this shit just came to me? It floated to me on a boat? No, I earned this. They have statues of me in Shaw bathrooms. All over. All over Saudi. I worked for this. Knee braces. Sonia knee braces.
Knee braces. It's part of my international brand. Knee braces. Knee braces. Every single hospital, it's going to be a heritage brand knee brace, but very sexy, too. A sexy knee brace.
Sexy knee braces. They're not just for hospitals. They're also for whorehouses. I have to do the whorehouses. I have to do the bus stops. I have to do behind the garbage cans. I have to do everything in this whorehouse.
Everything. All our mannequins have knee braces on them. And okay, then, because it's the brand.
Because Sonia keeps wearing that same red dress every time we see her in a scene. She's like, look, it's my dress. I designed it. It's for the classes, not the masses. It's always the same one. So today, to change it up, she like cut it down the middle and took off the sleeves and the shoulder pads. So her tits were hanging out. But I suspect that was still the dress with cuts.
Yeah, I think so. It obviously was.
Poor Pickles was up all night hot glue gunning those seams together.
Yeah. So then all the women come, and they're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally the models, there was an issue. There was like not a second look or something, and Sonia starts flipping her shit with a stylist, and they're screaming. But then finally the models start to come down the runway. And my favorite part was Bethany goes, it's actually really pretty how they have a staircase for the models to come down. And I'm like, oh, the staircase is pretty. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, the clothes were actually decent, and everybody was complimentary. But they were doing it in that dick way where they were like, whoa, there's actually clothes. And they're okay. Like, wow. Wow.
Yeah, they're functional.
Wow. One of them still had a Dillard's tag on the back. I don't believe for a second that Sonia had all those clothes made. Sorry. Don't believe it. They're still not for sale anywhere.
I think this team that she hired, I think that what they do is they have like one set of designs and they go and they find wealthy people and they're like, yeah, we want to work with you to help launch a brand. And then Sonia will be like, I want something that looks like this. And they're like, how about this? This is what we've been working on. What do you think? And she's like, yes, I want to put my name on that. Sort of like what Nini did, when Nini put her name on it. But I think they just go to like different women and they all think that they're launching a brand. And instead it's like Sparky Pilastri and Bring It On. You know, he just sells the same shit to every team.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I think she's getting bamboozled by these people.
Oh, well, that's a very nice way to put it. Because I just figured she found out about the extra 40% off sale at Dillard's. I can't let it go. It's a really good sale, you guys. And got her whole fashion line there. Because that shit still ain't for sale, girl.
Mm-mm.
And Nini probably did the same thing. She probably went to every circus that came through Atlanta. Like, listen up, Bonham and Bailey. I hate the name Bailey, A, and B, no one coming to the circus anymore. Give me this tent. I'm going to sell this on QVC. Bloop.
Let's do some cutouts by the shoulder.
She's like, this tent has a little peanut dust on it, but otherwise, it looks fashionable. Bloop. All right. Did you leave? Did we cut off, Ben?
No, I was listening. Oh, God.
Did you quit?
No.
I'm just waiting for the day where you're like, I quit. Fuck you.
I've had enough. No, I just got a text, actually, during your rant, and it really annoyed me. That's all.
You see,
that's
I'm so needy, I can sense when you're looking at a text.
Well, yeah, you can. Well, it's specifically more that I got a text that annoyed me. That's what it is.
Because it was me. I was texting you while I was talking, like, are you still there? Are you listening to me?
No, I have, like, here, let's pause for a second. Let me tell you my issue.
Okay.
So I have this group of friends who I always have so much fun with, but lately I feel like anytime I suggest, like, hey, guys, let's do this, or let's do that, or whatever, who wants to get brunch? Anytime I do any of that, like, no one responds. And, like, I'm like, hey, everyone, this is like, let's do this activity. And like one person might say, oh, like, sorry, I can't make it, or someone this, whatever. And I notice every single time I propose something, no one really pays attention. But anytime anyone else is like, hey, guys, let's go paintballing or whatever, let's do this or that. Everyone's like, yes. So it's one of those things where I'm like, okay, I think I know where I stand in this group. And I just got a text like that. I'm like, where? Because like last night I was like, hey, everyone, let's go to the OC Fair. And it was like crickets, which I thought was like a really fun activity. And then someone just now was like, hey, does anyone want to go paintballing? And everyone's like, oh, yeah, I'd plan on it. Let's go with it. And now they're all, right now as we're speaking, it's like text after text after text.
They're like, do you guys want to go paintballing? I hear they have great paintballing at the OC Fair. They're like, yes, I've been dying to do that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you just, because you're so social, maybe you just send out so many invites that you're becoming like one of those Facebook invites where you don't even see them anymore. Maybe people took you off their front page of the Facebook setting.
Yeah, either way, I'm feeling unloved. I'm feeling unloved.
Oh, Ben, you're loved, Ben. I love ya.
Who wants to go to the OC Fair?
I'll go with you.
Where do you want to go? Okay.
No, yeah. No. That's going to be so fun. A pity invite mixed with a pity attend.
Well, because, you know, it's like different. You know what? You know, like I suggested next Wednesday. I was like, hey, guys, let's go to the OC Fair like next Wednesday night. That might be fun. And so most people didn't respond. And, you know, other people were like, sorry, it's middle of the week. I can't do it. So then I was like, OK, well, why don't we do it? Maybe we can do it over the weekend then. And then just no one responded. I was like, oh, OK, I guess you.
Well,
have no
you know
excuses.
What, Ben? So slit my wrist, Ben. Crucify me then. Just gut me open then, Ben. Gut me open with a hunting knife. OK, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Just, you know, crucify me like Jesus. You know, that's what Jesus did. Stole a dress and it fell out of his trunk and then he got crucified. So just go ahead. Let's just repeat the Bible. Do it again. Do it all over again. But I'm warning you, there's going to be a flood. So
you
but
know
go
how
ahead.
I feel? You know how I feel? I feel boxed out. I feel boxed out.
Yeah. Heather's like, wow, does anybody have a box that we can put Kristen outside of while we can we have some box seats and then give Kristen one of the folding chairs on the floor? That would be great. Feel boxed out. All right. So we kind of skipped over the Beth and Ramona fight, which is very funny.
Oh, no, I think that's what happens now.
Oh, it does? Because I put it all before the girls. I guess I was just like not in the mood to write about the clothes.
I thought it happened in between because, you know, what happened, like 12 dresses came out and then Sonia had like a 2-hour break while they all changed clothes. So they're all sitting there waiting in the middle of the fashion show, just grounds to a halt.
And then, of course, Heather's like, listen, the first round was good, but here's a little tip from somebody who's a fashion mogul, okay? You don't wait for the second round. That looks bad, mamas, really bad. And I have things to do. I have a lot of things. I don't know if I can stay.
I don't know either.
I'm like, I dare you bitches to leave this. You will never hear the end of it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, the reason why they stayed was Heather was waiting for the Schadenfreude. She could not wait for there to be a disaster and for her to be like, to talk about how bad it was. Yeah. That's why she stayed.
She's like, I hate saying I told you so. So I got it written down on little business cards. Here's a few.
So anyway, during this dead space in the middle of the fashion show, that's when Bethany and Ramona start to fight. Like, out of nowhere, there's this fight that pertains to two things. One is that this issue where Ramona stole, now it's two dresses from Bethany. It used to be one, but now it's two dresses. But also, apparently, Ramona told Heather, that Bethany had an affair. Ramona told Heather that Bethany had an affair, and now Bethany found out about it, and now Bethany is mad. And then Bethany's like, and then on top of that, you stole the dresses, da 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 da. And she's just coming at Ramona, and Ramona's like trying to get out of it, and Bethany's like, no, that won't work. You can't just say I'm sorry. You can't say sorry. And Ramona just goes like, you know what? I'm not perfect. Fine, slit my wrist, crucify me. Fine, I'm not perfect. Okay. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I just love that. I'm fine. I mean, just gut me. Cut me. Stab me. Why don't you stab me? Do you want to open my head and pull out my brain and then mash it on the floor? Go ahead then. Go ahead. I don't care. Do it. Do what you got to do. I understand. I never said you had an affair. What I said was, of course, Bethany's upset because she fucked some other guy when she was married to her first husband. I mean, that's all I said. I never said the word affair.
It wasn't an affair. It wasn't an ongoing thing, okay? All I said is that you just gave a blowjob to many different people. That's all. Many different guys. It was like not just an affair. It was many, many.
I just said that you were charitable with your vagina. That's all. I mean, so what? So sue me. So your vagina's charitable. Oh, my God. Worst thing in the world.
You know what? Slit my wrist. I'm so sorry. You know, all I said was that you fucked three guys on a cruise ship one night. You know, that's all. And I said, I was very clear. I was like, it didn't mean anything to her. It didn't mean anything.
It doesn't
so
mean
sorry.
Anything on I'm international waters. Okay.
Okay.
How do you
okay.
think the terrorists get away with so much? You know, they're not here. If they were here, we would do something about it. But they're not here. So you know what? You know what? Terrorists, have fun. Have affairs. I don't care. Yeah. Cheat.
And then she's like, you know what? Let's not throw stones in glass houses, Bethany, okay? Okay? Because this, you know what? When I was a kid, we used to live in a glass house, okay? And my father built it, okay? And I used to love it, but it gets so hot in there. And I'd always be like, Mom, Dad, can we turn on the air conditioning? And he'd be like, no, you can't have the air conditioning. And then one time, Geraldine Parsons Smith came over, and she brought a nice cold beverage, and she wouldn't let me drink from it. And I was so mad, okay? So that's why I do not throw stones in glass houses, because I just hate glass houses in general, okay? I'm sorry. I don't
like
them.
Bethany's like, listen, Ramona, you know I had a glass house, and then Jason took it in the divorce. You know that. How could you bring that up? That is not cool. I didn't say glass houses, okay? I said that you lived in a house that was made out of glass. So sue me. So cut me. Throw a stone, let the house break on my face, and then let it just cut into my face. Like what happened to Jesus in that glass house when he was being crucified, you know? They said, don't throw. He said, forgive them, God, for they know not that they throw stones in glass houses. And before you know it, boom, the house was crashed and Jesus was dead. So
okay.
Go ahead. Okay.
Stay class A. I'm sorry, stay class A.
One good thing.
You know what? To this day, I can't go to a greenhouse. Okay? Too much glass. Okay.
One good
all
thing
my
about
plants have to come from a garden, all right? I can't have them from a greenhouse.
One thing about glass houses, they remind me of sunshine. Because you can see the sunshine.
But then there's too much sunshine and it almost ruins the sunshine, okay?
Let's not worry about it anymore because now I'm having a new beginnings party. So let's have I'm like, how many new beginnings parties are you gonna have? And then Bethany's like, how is it a new beginning when you had your new beginning already like a year ago? She's like, so it's not a new beginning. It's like I already began the new beginning, and so now come because I had a new beginning one time. And Bethany's like, nope, that's a stupid name. What are you talking about, Bethany? I mean, it's a new beginning that happened before. So it's like it's a new old beginning now. I mean, what do you want me to go? What do you want? Fine, don't come to my party. Just like happened to Jesus, all right? No one came to his party. And, you know, he died with glass in his face, upset. He was crying. That's all I'm saying. He was crying.
You know what? You know what? Jesus, when he came back, that was his new beginning. And you know what? Every year, we go to his new beginning party, and we call it Easter, okay? So don't act like you don't like going to new beginning parties, because I know you like to celebrate Easter, okay? We'll even have eggs, all right?
I feel like Jesus did at his new beginning party, because he was invisible, and so no one saw him anyway. So that's how you're going to be. You're not even going to see me. So whatever. Enjoy my new beginnings party. Just pretend you can see me. Fine.
Okay.
Go. So she's having a new beginning party. I will never, ever forget the last season Bethany was on, opening with Ramona on that fucking rented boat, having her new beginning party.
But yes.
But it was...
That was her renewal. That was her renewal party. It wasn't her new beginning.
I'm renewed.
It was renewal.
Everything's new. I'm renewed. I'm like the old Ramona, but new.
I cut my hair. I look like Cameron Diaz. I'm renewed. And this time, so now, my favorite part about this fight was that when Bethany and Ramona were fighting, then Ramona does her best tactic of all, which is just to get straight up condescending. She's like, listen, you're allowed to feel however you want to feel, Bethany, and that's okay. Feel that way. It's okay. You can feel that way, Bethany. It's all right. Shh, dear. You be quiet now, okay?
Do you want me to have Heather make you some chicken fingers? Because she can do. She's got some in her purse. Heather, do you have chicken fingers for Bethany? Do you have one of those maps to color on? Bethany, it's okay. Can someone change Bethany over here? Bethany, do you need a bottle? It's okay. It's okay if you do. I won't call you an alcoholic just because you're asking for a bottle. Heather, come help Bethany. You want me to put some choo-choo macaroni in your mouth?
You want some hummus? There's some hummus in the fridge. It's funny how the season is sort of like coming to a close on the same note that it opened with, because it was the season opened with Ramona and Bethany having a fight in the Hamptons, with Ramona being like, Bethany, you're emotional right now. Okay, just calm down. You're allowed to feel that way. Okay, even though you're totally wrong and you're blowing it out of proportion and you're throwing stones in glass houses, and I hate glass houses, but I love sunshine. It's okay. You can feel that way. Okay?
She's like, now, Bethany, I totally understand, but if you're going to leave, then I would appreciate it you giving me your folding chair so I could take it back home just in case Mario comes home and wants somewhere to sit, okay? New beginnings. The old Ramona didn't care where Mario sat, but now I care, okay? I'm taking your folding chair, and you can go home like a big girl, and you can cry yourself to sleep, okay?
Okay.
And that was pretty much all that happened, right? My last note was, I'm perfect, slip my wrist, crucify me. So this could have ended 30 minutes ago.
You know what? It could have, but it didn't, all right? I'm not perfect, okay? Just slip my wrist. Just crucify me, okay? Okay? Here, my wrist. Here. Cut, slip them right now and just send my love to Avery, okay? Okay?
It's like, great job, Sonia. All right, interns, pack those in the back of my trunk and make sure you get in the right car.
Just slip my wrist, okay? And send a letter to Geraldine Parsons Smith and say, you win, okay?
Okay.
Just do it, Bethany. Do it.
So they had mentioned she had an affair on her first husband, Bethany. So was that Jason or was she married before?
No, Jason was, I think, her first husband. I think that she was engaged a lot before.
Oh, so maybe it was the first fiancé? Because it's weird that they said the first husband. Who knows what happened at that racetrack, y'all? You don't know.
Y'all, if you have any of that gossip, you can just post it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/watchwhatcrapins, and we will fill in the gaps.
We would love to read it. Mind the gap, Ben. Mind the gap.
Yeah. Here's the thing. We want you all to tell us what happened on Facebook, and then next week we'll be certain to forget to check it on Facebook on the podcast.
And next week we'll totally forget to say your name when we totally steal your information.
Exactly.
Okay, so this week we did something a little new, because while we're waiting for more Rubber Ladies Fighting for No Reason shows, we have a break. So we have all these other Bravo shows, and we're like, we'll watch something else, okay? It's a new beginning, okay?
Okay. I'm freaking out about this. I'm freaking out.
So last week we watched Million Dollar Listing San Fran, but I mean, how many times can you watch a copy of two other shows?
Yeah, it's exactly the same except for the location. Like, just the set has changed.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Which I guess you could say the same for The Real Housewives, but you know.
Yeah, but I feel like, I don't know, they're realer. They have to be realer on that show, because women do actually go to lunch and they do actually have parties and they do actually shop. These guys, they're like, okay, we have to get three realtors who don't know each other together. So let's put them all in a room and have them fight over, what could it be? Who ate someone else's sandwich out of the fridge? No, they don't work in the same office. Maybe someone slept with someone else's girlfriend. No, too obvious. Domain names. Somebody bought all the domain names. Oh, perfect. Okay. like, what? That I can't. So anyway, now this time we're moving on to a new real estate show, at least for this show, which is Flipping Out. Hello, Flipping Out.
Yeah, this is the show that people ask us to cover, and we just don't cover it that often because I don't know. It's like it's hard to cover it because pretty much everyone on the show, for the most part, is pretty smart, and it's just sort of like a dry, funny show. And but there is stuff. When I was watching it last night, I was like, oh wow, there is stuff. I do have thoughts on things.
Yeah,
this. It's
a good show actually. I like it.
It is
a show.
Really good. And I actually loved how this week's episode started with Jeff and Jenny getting into a fight because a gate closed in his face that Jenny went through first. And he's like, Jenny, you do this every single time. Every single time. You go through the gate and it closes in my face. And this is how you do it. This is how you do it. And she's like, it doesn't close like that every single time. It happened like once or twice. He's like, no, every single time. And I was like, it was such a hilarious fight because first of all, you could see there, like, he was mad. He was, and because when they're talking about it in the interview, it was like, they were both getting so riled up, and I loved it because I've been on both sides of that argument. I've been the one who's been accused of like doing something like that, and I'm like, no, I've done it. I did it once, and because I did it once, you now think I do it all the time.
Yeah,
but I've also been the one
all day.
Yeah, but I've also been the one who's like, ugh. Why do you always do this? Like, how many times do I have to tell you to do this, not to do this anymore?
And Jenny, I love that Jenny, you know, she gets a little, not snottier, because she's not snotty at all. She's very nice, but she gets, like, a little more sick of his bullshit every time. And I'm like, you know, you don't even work there during the season. Like, I don't even believe that she still works there, because she comes in, and then now she's so exasperated. She's like,
Jeff, I only did that one time. And listen, I've been on a deodorant commercial, so I don't know who you think you're yelling at, but this girl is sure, and she's not going to take it anymore, okay? Yeah. I've got self-assurance, Jeff!
Or is that like a dryer sheet commercial? I don't know, something.
I don't know. I don't remember. I remember she was in a commercial, but I just don't remember what it was for.
So one thing I'm loving about this show, and ever since Gage has come on, so I guess it's been a couple seasons now, Gage is such a bitch. Oh my god, he is horrible. And you know he's like 10 times worse than Jeff, like behind closed doors. You know he's just an awful human being. Because how else could you be with Jeff?
Because Jeff has a sense of humor. I don't think Gage does.
Yeah, I think Gage gets that there's a sense of humor involved, so he'll smile and laugh after he says something bitchy, but it's not funny, it's just bitchy.
Yeah.
And I love it. And I love that Zoila has his number, and she's like, I don't work for you, I work for Mr. Jeff. And he's like, well, actually, you do, and I need a specific kind of chip. And she's like, you make fuck you, okay? You make fuck you. I hope you die. Like, they hate each other's guts, and it's really fun to watch, because, listen, Jeff, 20 years ago, may have picked you over a maid, but not anymore. He's learned his lesson. Mm-hmm. Maids come first, darling. Have you seen that Spotless Home?
Uh-huh. Yes.
He has his priorities straight.
Gage. Oh, yeah, he does. Gage.
So Gage. The Gage and Zoila fight's hilarious. She's like, oh, Gage only likes specific kind of chips, so should I go to Pavilion or Gelson? And Jeff's like, I don't care, just go to Gelson. Okay, I'm going to go. I'm so sorry, my sweetie pie. And he's like, oh, that's okay. You just have a lovely day today, Zoila. Okay, you too, my sweetie pie. Okay, you too. Make it a great day. Oh, you make great day too, sweetie pie.
I'm convinced.
Stupid motherfucker.
I'm convinced that isn't there like a maid character on Family Guy? I mean, I never watched Family Guy, but I remember watching one episode where there was a maid. She just goes, no, no. I think that she's like a recurring character, and I'm convinced that it's based off of Zoila.
I love Zoila. They showed an episode a couple of weeks. Everybody's gone because they all work so much, you know. So she's always at the house alone, and she's like, oh yes. People gone, so I eat. And so she's like eating peanut butter crackers in the kitchen. She's like, oh, it feels so good to eat in front of kitchen. Nobody says nothing to me because nobody home. And then, of course, Jeff comes home and he's like, Zoila, there are peanut butter cracker crumbs. Did somebody have a binge? No, no, Yin, I no do these. And he's like, yes, you did. Could you at least clean up the crackers? the crumbs of the crackers that are all over this brand new white countertop. She's like, oh, fuck you. Okay. Stupid.
I loved Jeff's rant about delegation on this episode. Yeah. When Jenny mentioned the word delegate, like, you know, saying like, I think the question was like, has Jeff, like, is it that has he cooled down? Has he grown or whatever? And she's like, well, you know, he's delegating more. And I think that's been really helpful. And he's like, wait, stop it right there. And I love he just like goes berserk. He goes, I'd love to delegate. If these fuckers could handle what I delegate them, if they weren't such dipshits and fuck everything up, I'd delegate everything.
Well, they've been on him all season about delegating because he's always complaining that he does everything. And they're like, well, you're doing everything because you're not leading us and you need to delegate. And whenever there's a fight, Gage is like, Jeff, I think you need to take a little blame for this because you could have delegated. So that's why he's finally like, fuck you and delegating. You're all idiots.
Yeah. And I mean, I get it. I mean, not that I have anything to delegate and I have no one to delegate things to, but I understand that frustration.
You're like, listen here, downstairs neighbor, I'm giving you the job of not complaining every 5 minutes, okay, you motherfucker.
Exactly.
I like when he said, you pushed my delegating button. what was I going to say? Gage again. I don't know what's up with Gage, but he has no emotion at all when he talks. He's just kind of like a slug with bleached teeth, and his whole personality are in those teeth. And they need to have one of those things that people put in the windshield of their car because the sun's too bright, because it hurts. But anyway, the inside of his mouth is probably dying right now.
Have we
like
talked
a
about
dog
the fact
trapped in a car?
Have we talked about the fact that Gage looks like gay Seth Meyers?
No, I don't think we have, but he does.
Yes,
he really does. But it's without the sense of humor, he's like, yeah, it's really sad because we're moving, like we're changing houses, and I look around here and I think of all of the memories. I mean, it's like really like heartwarming. He's like not heartwarmed at all.
I know.
He's like, remember that? Remember buying that doorknob? God, I remember the fight. And Jeff was all mad about it. And I was like, no, it will fit. Jeff, you need to delegate this to me. I mean, that was romantic. That was romantic.
He's like, remember when we got that chair from Room and Board and we put it in that corner? That was a lot of emotion. Special.
Remember when Zoila put eye drops into my martini and then I had the shits for like 9 days? Oh, God, I remember this house. I will never forget you, house.
Remember when I moved the vase from that table to that table? So many memories.
So what else? I'm looking over these notes, but I don't need to like talk about all this stuff.
Well, I have. So let's see. They moved out of the house. Let's see. There was
Joe, the dumb employee Joe.
Yeah, there was. I was gonna say there was a pillow issue because there were pillows that were the wrong size. And Jeff's like, these pillows are all the wrong size. I'm looking at them. I'm like, oh, they look good to me. But then again, that's probably why I am not in his field because everything looks good to me.
And they're doing George Eads' house from CSI.
Yeah. Who's doing George Eads and Eric Prydz. Very random.
He's turning into like an ex-hot version of Mr. Rogers really fast. I was like, are you really wearing like a Mr. Rogers sweater right now and glasses? Please stop, George Eads. Like, if anything, fuck the barbecue and get this man a bathtub full of like newborn spinal fluid to soak in for a little while so that he remembers he's not 90.
Yeah.
George Eads. It's like once they get their models, they're like, okay, get me a sweater vest and some glasses from Walgreens. I'm not going to dye my hair or work out anymore. It's like, no, darling, keep the model. I don't know. He was just so hot, you know? He was so hot, George.
I know, he was so hot. I once went to the Standard. I once went to the Standard Hotel, and George Eads was swimming around in the pool there, and he came out all shirtless. I was like, ooh, there's George Eads, shirtless.
Oh, so cute.
Nice. Is in his CSI prime.
Miss
So then anyway, so there's this guy, Joe, this assistant, who, it's so funny, he looks exactly like this guy I know named Joe, and I thought it was maybe the same person, and I was like, is Joe that dumb? Is the Joe that I know that dumb? And then I realized, no, they're not the same person. But I love when Jeff is making fun of him, like when he's talking about how Joe, you know, how he has to do so much extra work when dealing with Joe, and he starts talking about Chin Chin, this Chinese restaurant that's on the Sunset Strip, and he's like, Joe, have you been to Chin Chin before? He's like, no. And he's like, yes, you went last week. And Joe's like, no. He's like, yes, you did. No. And then Jeff's like, then spends 10 minutes looking for the receipts. He's like, see, you did go. And Joe's like, oh, yeah, I did go. He's like, yeah, of course you went. Of course you went to Chin Chin because we ordered from Chin Chin. In my mind, I'm like, yeah, the first problem is that you went to Chin Chin because that place sucks.
Yeah, it does.
It does really suck.
I went there because on the Rosie show, if this tells you how long ago I went there, Rosie O'Donnell was like, ah, the chicken salad at Chin Chin's, the best one in the city. Which, of course, Rosie O'Donnell eating a chicken salad is a hilarious thought in the first place, because you know that bitch never actually ate it. She probably saw it being delivered to a table and was like, I'm going to talk about that on the show. Anyway, yeah. I went there and I was like, this place is gross, and I know that Rosie O'Donnell never ate the salad.
Yeah. We used to, back when I was like, it's one of the offices I worked at, they'd order from Chin Chin, and it was just this very sad, overpriced Chinese food. Don't go there. People, don't go there. Don't go there.
Vicky, the only person from Orange County that will not go there is Vicky. She's like, stop reminding me of my body parts every goddamn restaurant we go to.
Oh, it's named after Vicky and Jimbalino together.
Oh, Chin Chin.
But this Joe guy is such an idiot. And then there's an issue with the soap. He had to get like 6 bars of a certain type of soap and he couldn't find it at the store. So then he was like calling in, and there was like, it felt like it was like a 10-minute segment on the show dedicated to like walking Joe through buying soap.
Joe's an idiot. Every time they show him, he is just dumb, 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 and dumber. And Jeff always, every season, has some moronic employee, and I guess it's to make the show fun, but
yeah.
Also, if you look around, really none of Jeff's employees are very bright. They have a new one named Vanina, who seems semi-smart.
She's been there for like a year, for like a few seasons.
Oh, to me, she's new. She seems okay, because I guess there's someone who has to actually work in that place. But yeah. No one seems incredibly bright. And I think it's because bright people are not going to be yelled at all day by that guy. Like, he's so mean. He's very calm so far this season. He's only lost it a couple times, but... He's so mean. Intelligent people ain't going to do that. And I was like, Vanina, what's she doing taking this? And then I was like, oh, she's emotionally handicapped. I understand now.
Yeah.
She's like, I won't speak to you for 2 weeks because you blamed me for the barbecue. And it totally wasn't my fault.
Yeah. But Jeff was, you know, but I like the way Jeff handled that.
Well, that's new. Like, that's the new. Yeah. You want to talk Jeff. About new beginnings? Okay.
Okay.
Jeff, like, is actually growing. And I'm guessing that he probably gets yelled at like that from Gage, or you know, Gage yells at him like that. So I think he's probably like learning, oh, this feels horrible.
Yeah, exactly.
He's trying to be the man that he wants Gage to become. Oh, isn't that nice? Romance.
But in certain ways, Jeff is still the same, because he totally was ridiculing Joe because Joe didn't come into work because he got a concussion playing flag football, LOL. And by the way, how do you get a concussion playing flag football? Like, what were you? If you get a concussion playing flag football, you're doing it wrong. So you might as well just be playing regular football. So the best is, while Joe is homesick, Jeff totally goes onto Joe's Instagram and trolls it like crazy. He just goes through all these photos, and they're just like making fun of it. And I was cracking up because that's what we do.
Yeah.
And they were just going through. And then the best is when they go to the one where there's a picture of a flower, and Joe writes, "Life is like this flower. You can't let its beauty go to waste." And he spelled waste, W-A-I-S-T. I mean, and they are just all cracking up. Because I hate Instagrams like that. I hate Instagrams that like – they're trying to be inspirational, but it's really just a ploy for likes. Ugh, it's terrible.
Oh, so you don't follow Yolanda? Come on,
oh,
man.
No, I'm so sorry. So sorry.
Look at all these bags under my eyes, but at least there's a sunset over the beach in Malibu that David won at the Grammys. Like, you're so strong, girl. Oh, girl, you better hold it up over there. You're so strong. You're so inspirational.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
See, flipping out's kind of boring to talk about. Fuck it. Let's not talk about it anymore.
It's funny. Well, in the end, Joe got fired. That was what was good.
Calmly. It's never fun when you fire someone calmly. Jeff's like, look, we respect you as a human being, but you just don't fit in properly. And Joe's like, I thank you because I have learned things here. Maybe I will find a job somewhere else. The end. No, it's fun when Jeff is like, where's my goddamn receipt from Mondelez, you motherfucker? And he bashes his head into the window and, like, ruins his life. Like, that's how to do it.
Yeah, Jeff Lewis. God. Next time we see you, we're going to give you a piece of our minds. And then we're going to throw champagne at you, just like Brandy Glanville. And then afterwards we'll say it was all an elaborate joke on Andy Cohen.
No, I've met him. He's terrifying. I won't talk to him at all. I just sit there and, like, listen to what he's talking about. Because he's always looking at people with that look like he's... All he's doing, I mean, I guess that's what we do, so maybe that's why I'm afraid, but he's not real. Like, he keeps asking questions like he's listening to you. And he's smiling and nodding, but he's doing it in that way he does on the show where he's just memorizing it and rewriting it in his head to be funnier later when he's mocking you while you've got
exactly.
a concussion.
Yes, exactly. That's the thing. You feel like he is just gathering ammunition.
Yeah.
And I think the last time I saw him was when we went to Leah Black's house. And if he was like, I did not initiate anything with him. Like, if he was with us, because there was that moment when we were in that circle with Jeff and Gretchen and Slade and Leah's psychic, which, LOL, that is a very funny circle.
No
that we were
shit.
In.
When that psychic was giving Gretchen that reading in front of Jeff Lewis, I was about to piss on the floor. He was trying not to laugh so hard.
Yeah, that was very, very funny to me.
And the psychic's red, blue. And Gretchen's like, pregnant? What? Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. And he's like, orange. I see orange. Okay, in a nursery. And she's like, wait a second. I don't like oranges, and Slade can't have babies. He had his tubes tied. Whatever. Yeah. I was like, Gretchen, stop. He can't give me a reading if you're telling him everything.
I know. Yeah, that was an example of, like, that was pretty much the only significant interaction. I'd met him once before, Jeff, at, like, a party, like, 6 years ago. But it was like a, hey, let's get a picture thing that I posted on my blog. But I'm intimidated, too, because I feel like, he's secretly judging and mocking me.
And not even so secretly, because he looks at you like he's judging and mocking you.
Yeah, exactly. So I just try to, like, I'll answer any questions he has for me, but I'm not going to try to, like, go and chat with him because I think he will immediately turn it into fodder. And I'm too sensitive.
I see pink. My Bentley was repossessed. This guy's amazing. However, he's amazing.
Oh, my God. Well, I think that's basically it, which is good because I have two canker sores in my mouth. And every time I talk, it hurts. And on top of that, you ever do that thing where you sneeze and then your throat hurts a little bit after? It's like you pull a muscle in your throat.
Yes.
I totally did that. During the podcast, I put the mute button on when it happened, so y'all didn't hear it, hopefully. And my throat is, like, killing
me. Actually, I've been alone this whole time. It's been amazing. I'm just like, hi, everybody. Welcome to the Ronnie Show. Right now, I'm looking at Google.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm, like, falling apart here. My friends don't want to hang out with me anymore, and I'm going through a crisis.
And maybe, maybe you're not on it. Maybe they have Android phones or something, and they're not getting you tech. No offense, Android. I just got rid of mine, though, because of that. Mostly it was group texts. I was like, I didn't even know you guys were going here. Oh, I have a good – oh, no. I'll save my good story. I got to pee, and nobody needs to hear it.
Yeah. Oh, well – some people need to hear it.
Ben, I love you. I mean it. I will totally go to the OC fair with you if you give me a real invitation and not some pity thing because other people wouldn't go. Maybe we can take Angie.
Oh, my God. That's such a great idea. Or she Amy Phillips.
Like, let's take them all. I need to
and Molly,
call Amy.
You have to hang out with Molls, too.
Why don't we do that? Why don't we have, like, a guest host party and just go to the OC fair? Nobody knows each other. It'll be so fun.
Yeah. Crappin's fair.
I'll bring a nice, tall Starbucks cup full of vodka, and we'll do this right, guys.
I love that. Let's go to the fair. Let's and maybe we'll see it. Some Real Housewives of Orange County.
Oh, God. And the fucking petting zoo.
Zoo, yeah. Well, you know what? Last year... Michelle went to the OC fair and she wound up doing horseshoes or something like that. And she was like standing in line behind Brooks and she said he was wasted and saying something about like he was trying to win a veggie burger.
It's like, well, I'm in line for some chemo right now. It comes out of this machine like a fluffy cotton. She's like, that's cotton candy. That's delicious.
If we went down there and we saw Shannon Bedore, I would be very excited.
Shannon Bedore won't let her kids go to a sleepover. Bitch is not going to a place with that many germs.
Too much fried food. I can just imagine her with a big piece of funnel cake.
They're a little spongy.
She'll be like the boy in the bubble. They'll be like, okay, make way. The weird lady with the chicken necks coming through. Move, clear the aisle. She'll be like, David. Like a hamster in a ball, just pushing it forward. David.
Have you seen my husband, David, at this carnival booth? Because if so, was he with somebody? And if so, he's never coming back to this carnival booth again. You should have thought of that before you let him toss a ring around the Coke can. Okay, mister?
David never used to like the petting zoo. David? David? Why is that llama looking at me like that?
David? I want to know how many llamas have seen you with another woman, because I'm having them all slaughtered, David. Tell me. I'm going to have them all slaughtered right now.
David? David? Why did you get me that stuffed animal? Are you saying I'm fat? David? David? It's been stress pounds. David? Because of you, because you've been cheating. David? 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 Megan? Is Megan
David,
here?
David? Look at that wild dragon ride that shoots fire all over people. Oh, reminds me of that Valentine's gift you gave me after 5 years of not giving me anything, David. Wow. Love.
All right. You know what? You know what? I start carnivals, okay?
I start carnivals, Megan. I'm a 30-year-old.
Megan? Okay, Miss 30-year-old carnival.
Okay, the show's over. Bye, everybody. Love you. Thanks for everything.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore, because it's here, and it's funny, and I love you.